Please open your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter. And we will be reading two sections. The first section from chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, and then from chapter 3, verse 7. And we're reading this first passage because chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 serve as an introduction. And then in verse 13, it begins, therefore, and the entire passage from 2:13 all the way to 3:17 is one group introduced by this passage in chapter 2. This is God's holy word. It is his perfect, infallible word that he has given to us as a gift, that we might know him, that he might instruct us in his ways. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. And then from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Let us pray. Our Father, Lord, we are dependent upon your Spirit. We are dependent upon you to convict our hearts of sin, to teach us your ways, and Lord, to give us strength to obey. Lord, especially as we consider the relationship between a husband and wife, Lord, we need your help. Direct us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. A while back, I was, we were working on planting a church, and I was talking with some of the people there about the importance of the church encouraging good marriage and stability in the family. And it brought to my mind you and this congregation, and so it set my heart to preach on this passage, that we might be encouraged. And this passage is really directed to men to live with their wives in an understanding way, to honor them. In 2008, I went to the Philippines. Well, my daughter was going there to be a midwife, and she served there for 6 months. And of course, I wasn't going to just put my daughter on an airplane and send her off to the Philippines and, say have a good time. So I went with her, and we had some adventures. We went through a hurricane, or I guess a typhoon they call it over there, but she got established there. And she served as a midwife, particularly to a tribe of people in a remote area of Luzon called the Butbut. And I was privileged to meet there with the man who first brought the gospel to this group of people. Now, it was 45 years before 2008 that he went into this tribe, and he knew some of the language. He was a local Filipino. And he preached the gospel to the elders. And they said, "We believe this. What should we do?" And so he set up a church, and he spent the next 45 years, week in, week out, teaching the gospel and teaching the precepts of this word. Now, these people, when he first came in, were headhunters. They were embroiled in tribal warfare. and their family life was almost non-existent. Women were treated very terribly in that area. And he told me that as the gospel went forth, headhunting came to an end. Tribal warfare came to an end. And the treatment of women was transformed. Men began to learn how to love. Families were restored. Now, men, I bring up this story so we have a sense of what we are up against. In our sinful human state, we as men do not naturally treat women with the honor which is due them, as fellow heirs of the grace of life, with the honor due them, as children of God created in His image, designed by God for your good, for the good of her children, and most of all, for God's glory on this earth. You see, the natural man is uncaring, selfish, sometimes even brutal. Sinful man naturally takes advantage of his wife for his own desires, and he exploits a woman's weakness. But by God's grace, if you are in Christ, you have been made a new creation. You have been called to a new way of life and a new way of loving your wife. It takes the gospel, and only the gospel will transform your heart in this and in every area of life. Living as a godly husband is a gospel issue. To the extent that you live by the gospel and for the glory of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be enabled to live in a godly manner as a husband. But if you cherish sin in your heart, if you hang on to your natural ways, if you don't place your complete trust in Christ in the pursuit of godliness, then wherever else sin shows up, it will show up here in the most intimate of relationships in your life. Here in your marriage, you must live as a redeemed man, as a man bought with a price. And by the way, although Jesus never married a woman on earth, He is the perfect husband. He is the perfect model for your life. He is a bridegroom, and He has a bride. Revelation 21, verse 2, it says, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people. And God Himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eye, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. See, this is what it will be like in eternity. The church, the bride of Christ with her husband. You know, I love the verse in Hebrews. I'm sure I've quoted it here before. 12:2 says, For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. You see, it was for the joy of saving His people that Christ endured even the cross. Now I have a question. Are you valuable in God's eyes? Absolutely. Does God love you more than you could know? You see, it was not a drudgery for Christ to sacrifice even His life for you. It was His great joy to save you. You see, this is how Christ loves His bride, and this is what God expects of you as a man. To love your wife like Christ loves the church, to value your wife in the way that Christ values His church, to take joy in your wife the way Christ takes joy in His church, and to sacrifice for your wife the way that Christ sacrificed his own life for his bride, the church. Now, do you realize what God has given you in salvation? God has given you himself. You see, the end of the gospel is that you belong to God. You've been bought with a price. And likewise, God expects you to give your very self to your wife, to live with her in an understanding way. You see, you must be prepared to give your very self in your marriage. Now, let me just emphasize this. When we look at the commands which God has placed upon every one of us as husbands, you see, we can't look at our own weak and sinful hearts. We must look to Christ. You must feel the goodness of God's love to you in the gospel, so that your love for your wife will be conformed to the image of Christ's love for his church. God commands us to love our wives in a certain way, in a way that honors her as God's blessing. And this is what 1 Peter 3:7 is all about. And we will look at this passage under three headings: how to dwell with your wife, the motivation to dwell in this way, and the consequences of not dwelling in this way. And so firstly, we consider how to dwell with your wife. And the passage begins, likewise, husbands, live with your wife. And there's one word translated, live with your wife. And there is a word in Greek, katoikeo, which means to dwell together. And what it means is to inhabit the same space, to live in the same house. But that is not the word that's used here. The word used here is sunoikeo, and it means to share lives, not just to share space. It means to live with your wife in a close, intimate relationship. Now, that is an amazing thing, that the Bible has such nuance. In Scripture, this word applies only to the close, intimate relationship between a husband and a wife. This is the fundamental verb and the fundamental command in this verse. Live in a close, intimate, personal relationship with your wife. In other words, give to her your very self. And now, in some sense, you know, we could stop here, because this would go a long way. The rest of the verse defines what this kind of close dwelling in a personal relationship looks like. And so we read in the very next clause, it says, in an understanding way. And literally the phrase is, in accordance with knowledge. And so, in accordance with knowledge explains live with your wives. In other words, you must live consistent with, guided by, specific knowledge. And so we ask, well, what knowledge is that that must guide us in our relationship with our wife? And it's explained in the very next phrase, where it says, giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel. Now, more literally, this would be stated in such a way, as with the weaker vessel, as with her as feminine. And you'll see in the Greek the word woman, but it is very definitely the word feminine. And its meaning is those specific things that God has built in to a woman. Those characteristics that belong to a woman. And feminine explains the use of weaker. And we need to not be confused when we see the word weaker. It does not just mean physically weak, but it means weak in the sense of vulnerable. Literally, without power. In 1 Corinthians 4:10, Paul says, "We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong." Now, I guarantee you that Paul is not weak. But he is weak in that he comes without human standing. He is vulnerable in his mission work. Now, to clarify the use of the word understanding or according to specific knowledge, you know, it is good and necessary that you understand your specific wife, that you understand your wife's needs, that you understand her, what she loves in life. But that is not the point of this verse. The point of this verse is that you must live in accordance with the knowledge of how God created her to be a specific blessing, how God created her to be a feminine woman. It is a matter of God's design. This is the knowledge that you must live according to if you are to dwell with your wife in a close, intimate relationship. And then it says, showing honor. And showing honor is connected directly to, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life. The reason to show honor is because she is an heir of the grace of life, created by God himself. And the word translated honor is derived from the word value. And whenever it is translated honor, it means honor due to a specific value. In other words, this is not an arbitrary honor. It is an honor which is due, which is rightly due to the value of what God has placed into your wife as a woman. In other words, you do not get to determine the value of your wife. God did that when he created her with specific worth, worthy of specific honor. Now let's pause for a minute. Does this describe your life as a husband? Do you study this book to see God's design of your wife? Are you a man that shows honor to your wife for the value and the blessing that God has put into her? Now, it's important to understand that we, as husbands, do not just honor our wives according to her value, but also according to the principle of a husband's duty. Genesis 2:18 says, "And the Lord God said, 'It is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him.'" Now, the word fit is very interesting. It is the matching, fitting piece. Now, if your wife was made fit for you, well, then you as a man were made fit for her. You see, the man is made fit for the woman every bit as much as the woman is made fit for the man. You see, for every weakness in your wife, God has given you as a man a corresponding duty. Your strengths are to guard and protect her. Men, you were made for your wife. And therefore, in Genesis 2:24, it says, "A man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." You notice that it says, "A man shall leave. A man shall be joined." Men, God gave you the initiative to leave and be joined to your wife. And thus, when you see the word weaker in this verse, you should read the word duty for yourself. Every feminine weakness commands a corresponding duty. And if you look through Scripture, there are many descriptions, and we're going to look at just a few of them, of how a man is fit to care for, to honor his wife. Now, first, clearly, God has made the woman weaker physically. And God intends that this weakness call forth your duty to protect her. See, strength is not a means to control. It is not a means to coerce or harm. It is your means to guard and protect your wife. Men protect their countries. Men protect their homes. You know, John Piper once put it this way. If there's a noise downstairs, and it might be a burglar, you don't turn to your wife and say, "Oh, well, I checked last time, it's your turn." No, you get up and you go down and you protect your home. You go up against the enemy first, and woe to the men who send their wives and daughters into battle. I was encouraged the other day. A family was walking across the parking lot, and two stray dogs came running up, and that man instantly put himself between his family and those dogs and chased them off. Your duty as a protector uniquely enables and encourages your wife to live and prosper as a feminine woman. Her energies can be put to love and nurturing. She can be tender in her care. And the second area we want to consider is the temperament as a nurturer that God has built in to your wife. He has made her to care for others, to have a heart that goes out to the weak and the poor. Psalm 31:20 says, she extends her hand to the poor, yes, she reaches out her hand to the needy. And by the way, did you ever notice in Psalm 31, verse 9, it says, King Lemuel pleads the cause of the poor. And so we see King Lemuel pleads their cause as king, but his wife reaches out her hand. Do you see the personal touch? I was once studying at a large church in Fort Collins. They have a coffee shop, and they open their building. And one day, I saw a woman there helping a very severely disabled man in a wheelchair. And she was helping him to grind coffee for their coffee shop. And here was a woman speaking, oh, so tenderly to this man who could barely speak at all. But he could smile, and he did. This woman was helping him to feel useful. It wasn't efficient, but it was loving. And I thought, here is the heart of a woman. And I was glad to live in a place that gave room for caring for the helpless. And it was an honor just to watch such tender, loving care. You know, not that men cannot help others, but we need to be honest that this is the realm where women shine. In our family, Pam and I took care of her parents and my mom in the last years of their life. And if you've been through that time, you know some of the struggles and, well, some of the joys, too, that go with that time. And, you know, I did a lot, but, you know, let's be honest, my wife was the hero of the story as she cared for our parents day in, day out. It was often a mundane, thankless job. But she was glad to care for them. And did you notice that it was the women who went to the tomb to care for Jesus' body? God made women to nurture and care for others. He gave them the emotional temperament so that their hearts and their hands go out to others. And I hope you see, in a very real sense, how vulnerable this makes your wife. How easy it is for uncaring and unfeeling men to take advantage of this temperament, to look only to themselves and to forget their duty to surround their wives with a stable, loving relationship. And so I ask, men, do you provide for your wife as she cares for children and the elderly. As she cares for those in need, do you care for her? Do you love and appreciate her special gifts? Do you praise her abilities, and are you thankful for her? And very important, are you willing to work alongside her? Or do you just send her off to do the dirty work? Every vulnerability in the feminine nature is there because God has given the world a blessing. And likewise, God has given you, as a husband, a corresponding duty to love and protect and provide for your wife. Now, closely related to her role as nurturer is her role as mother. And you know, I love my children, and I love my children when they were little, but there can be no doubt that God gave to women the role of mother. She carries her children in her womb. She nurses her infants day and night. She wipes away tears. She gives hugs and kind words. She is there through her child's early vulnerable years. And she prays for her child all her life long. See, God made a woman's heart to attach to her children, to be wrapped up in their hurts and pains and their successes and failures. You know, it's interesting to look at Hannah's prayer in 1 Samuel as she pours out her heart seeking children from the Lord. It is good for us as husbands to show up to music recitals, soccer games, 4-H activities. But when you do, you will notice that not one mother is missing. And I hope you see the vulnerabilities, the weakness that women carry as mothers. It is usually men that abandon their families, that retreat into their work, that leave their wives to the struggles and tiredness of raising children. Husbands, are you thankful for your wife as mother? Have you stopped to think about how vulnerable her role as mother makes her? Do you love and support her? Do you tell her how much you appreciate her gifts and abilities? Do you instruct your children to show her honor just as you do? I will say that the modern trend of young men postponing marriage so they can pursue job and recreation does a great disservice to godly young women. And of course, another area is God made your wife to be a wife. And this is a fourth area of vulnerability. Genesis 2:18, again, God said, "It's not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Now, let this just soak in for a minute. It is not good for a man to be alone. What a blessing that God has made a helper perfectly fit to match you as a man. And I want you to think about the vulnerability and the positional weakness which God has given a woman as a wife. Ephesians 5:22 says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord." Wives are called to submit to their husbands. Men, you are the leader. You are the leader in your home and in your marriage. You establish the tone and the direction of your family. The duty falls to you. Look with me again at Proverbs 31. And we often think of Proverbs 31 as describing the virtuous woman, and it does. But I want you to see that Proverbs 31 woman is matched to the Proverbs 31 man. Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 1. "The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. What my son, and what son of my womb, and what son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who would destroy kings. It is not for you, O king, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, or for rulers to take strong drink. Skipping down to verse 8, open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all those who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. See, King Lemuel was not a man just out chasing women and alcohol. He has the duties of a king to look after. He is not going to pursue those things that destroy kings. He looks after widows and orphans and all those who don't have a voice for themselves. Now, it's no wonder that such a man is matched to a virtuous woman who extends her hands to the poor. Now, the point is this. When your wife, when you get married to your wife, you call your wife into your life. And if your life is small and self-centered, then you call your wife into that kind of a life. But if your life is big and generous, full of family and friends, full of ministering to the Lord, full of looking after those in need, those who don't have a voice for themselves, then you call your wife into that kind of a life. And I hope you see the vulnerability of the position this places your wife into. Not only is she subject to your neglect if you live a small life and self-centered demands, but you call her into a very small vision of life. You know, in Ephesians 5, it says that Christ cares for his church by watering her with the word, that she might be sanctified. And then by implication, you as a husband are called to the same thing. And this does mean that you read the scriptures in your home. But it means more than that. It means that you structure your life, you structure your home, that you might live out a good life as described in God's word. That God's word directs your activities so that you call your wife into a life directed by God's word. Men, this is how you can honor your wife in her positional vulnerability of role. You see, you must lead a life that is worthy of the gospel. Philippians 1:27 says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. This is to should describe your leadership in your home. Now, the question is, does this kind of striving together for the gospel, this kind of extending your help and your care to those in need, filling your life with faith and family and friends and church, describe your leadership as a husband? And it should by your initiative, out of your love for God and out of your honor for your wife. Now, one more area to consider in this area of couples living together, of college hookups, of internet pornography, we must consider how to honor our wives in our intimate relationships. You see, it's not by mistake that Matthew 5 is addressed to men. It says, but I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. And from ancient times, the natural man has exploited women in this area. You may know that 70% of young people live together today to try each other out. And you may realize that the views of internet pornography stretch into the billions. You see, our culture is reverting to a pagan abuse of women. But not so with you. 1 Corinthians 6:11, you have been washed, sanctified, justified. You must be holy, for I am holy, says the Lord. You see, husbands, your wife is subject to your sensitivity and to your fidelity. Dwell in a close relationship with your wife and with her alone. Now, let me just summarize this discussion with the word vessel. You know, God could have inspired any number of words. He could have said the weaker gender. But he used the word vessel. Now, the most common use of this word is of the vessels used in the temple service, of the bowls of silver and gold. But when this verse is applied to people, it always has the sense of what God has poured into a life. There are vessels of wrath and vessels of mercy. The picture is this: your wife is a vessel into which God has poured a vast array of blessings so that she can pour out those blessings upon you and your children, upon this church and upon the world. And how empty life would be without the special blessings that come from the feminine, from those things that belong specifically to a woman. And by God's wisdom and by His design, these blessings come with vulnerabilities. And He has given you as a husband the duty to care for your wife, to honor her, to protect her in all these areas. See, this is what it means to dwell with your wife in a close, intimate relationship according to the specific knowledge of what God has poured in to your wife. Now, there's two other points here. So next we'll consider, why must you live in this way? And this points us to the phrase, heirs together of the grace of life. And so we ask, well, what does that mean? Well, one thing it means is Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. But there's another reason why you must live this way. And it comes from the word at the beginning of the verse, likewise. Husbands, likewise, meaning in the same manner. And as I said, this points back to chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good work, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. And the point is this: this whole passage from 2:13 to 3:17 describes how Christians must live before the watching world in order to bring glory to God and in order to bring the unsaved into the kingdom of Christ. In other words, this is much bigger than you. It's much bigger than your wife. It's bigger than your marriage. It is about the glory of God and about the eternal salvation of God's church. And so I ask again, men, is it your heart's desire to glorify God? Honor your wives. Now finally, this verse concludes with the consequences of not living this way. And it says that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, I don't know about you, but this is a phrase that can throw the fear of God into me. To have my prayers, my communication with God hindered. It gives a sense of the importance of the value that God places on you living with your wife in such a way to honor her. And if I can remind you of Hebrews 10:31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. To conclude, let me ask you again, what kind of man are you? What does your relationship with your wife look like? Are you loving and kind? Are you devoted to honor your wife as God has designed her? Now, you know, this is a verse directed at husbands, but oh, how wonderful it is that God has designed you women to be such a blessing in this world. Now, you know, perhaps some of you have seen the movie Chariots of Fire about Eric Lyle. He was the man who would not run on Sunday. And he was a missionary in China. And at one point in the movie, he's considering his call to China and yet his desire to run in the Olympics. And he says this, he says, God made me for China, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure. See, he feels God's pleasure because he's using that special gift which God has given him. God made him fast. Now, men, when your wife is able to live as God has created her, when she is pouring out the blessings that God has poured into her, when she runs as a wife, she will feel God's pleasure. And by his grace, God has given you a role that your strengths and your abilities to love and guard and protect and care for her are fit to her vulnerabilities, which come with her blessings. Now, finally, let me say, who is sufficient for these things? And the answer, of course, is not one of us. And so you must live your life by the gospel. You must live in the grace of God to unworthy sinners. You must live in dependence upon him who gives new life. You see, Christ died for you, even while you were weak, while you were yet a sinner. Scripture says that Christ is our sanctification, that Christ is our motivation, that Christ is our model, that Christ is in every way our life. And God is at work conforming you to the image of Christ. And only in this way can you live as a godly man, fulfilling your duties as a husband. Now, actually, I have one more thing to add here. You know, in Matthew 19, the disciples asked Jesus about divorce. And it's very interesting. Jesus answers not with telling them about divorce. Jesus answers and says, you know, you're not getting it. From the beginning, it was not so. God created them male and female. Jesus said, marriage is permanent. And you know, our traditional marriage vows bear this out, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. You know, so many in the world today, they see only the pain and the suffering of staying together. And make no mistake, there is struggles in maintaining a relationship. But they don't see the much greater pain, the much greater struggles, the much greater sorrows of abandoning their marriage. They have a very short-sighted view. They think in terms of weeks and months. Jesus says marriage is permanent. And so you need to think in terms of years and decades and of a lifetime, of living with your wife, of honoring her, of working through the difficulties that inevitably come, devoting yourself to your wife even in troubles. And see, then when you have gray hair, you'll be happy because you have spent your life contributing to something beautiful. Hebrews 12 says, we look to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, Lord, we as men so desire to live in such a godly way, to be conformed to your image, to love our wives as you love the church. And so, Lord, turn our focus and our attention on you, that we might not be discouraged, but that we might be encouraged, that you are our God. You are our shield, our strength. You are our ever-present help in time of need. In Jesus' name, amen.